Blog Talk Radio.
Wealthy Sisters, the show that features six- and seven-figure earning women of color. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time as Deborah Hartnett, CEO of Deborah Hartnett International and founder of The Professional Black Woman, showcase the triumphant journeys of these powerful sisters. You will be inspired, encouraged, and informed every Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-838-9278. Today's broadcast is brought to you by www.wealthysisters.com, where the show can be heard 24 hours a day. And now your host, Deborah Hartnett.
Well, hello and welcome to Wealthy Sisters. We are sponsored by the Professional Black Woman Association, where you can visit us on the web at www.thepbwa.com. That is our new site, and we are very excited about it. Wealthy Sisters is where we celebrate the lives of six- and seven-figure earning women of color. Our purpose is twofold. First, we want to inspire and encourage you, the listener. And second, we need to edify, promote, acknowledge, and just say thank you to the sisters for doing big things. I'm Deborah Hartnett, your host, broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on the Blog Talk Worldwide Network. Today is Monday, May 10th, 2010, and I hope you are as excited about your future as I am. We are here every week at the same time. That's Mondays at 12 noon Eastern, so you know we want you to spread the word. Now, before we go any further, we have been doing this since January, the first show in January, and you know all of our listeners who tune in every week, who have marked us as your favorite, you know what we're going to say. This is what we need to say. Our slogan for the year is, here's to 2010, the best year ever. That's it. We are going to wear that out. We are declaring that. So everybody say it with me. Here's to 2010, the best year ever. Well, you know, as always, we are excited about our show today. And I tell you, you know, our very, very special guest happens to be you, our listening audience. So we want you to go ahead and dial in 347-838-9278. We want you to call everybody. We want you to text them, email them right now. Make sure you send them a message on Twitter as well. Tell them, hey, I am on the show today, so we want you to dial them in. And also, you can always tune in to Wealthy Sisters at www.wealthysisters, that's S-I-S-T-A-S, .com, so that you can also catch our archives. And I'm telling you, last week's show, oh my goodness, it was phenomenal. We had none other than Dr. Bondos, Miss Alelia Bondos, who happens to have been Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter. Our featured show, you can also catch Miss Shawn Stevens, who talked about transformation and so many other great episodes. So we want you to tune in and not miss out on any of the great things that we've been discussing. Now, today's show, we are so excited because we are celebrating mothers. Mothers, yes. Now, we have wealthy moms as our topic today, and we will be discussing some of the wealthy mothers that have been listed on the Forbes list and what have you, and others that we may have heard of, may not have heard of. And we also want you to call in today, as I mentioned earlier, and we want to discuss real-life solutions, too. We know that a lot of times as mothers we deal with guilt, with our children. Did I feed them right today? What do I do? You know, how do I find this balance for myself, overcoming the fears, and how to tap into also your motivating and driving force that's going to be your passion to keep you building and keep you focused on your dreams for the whole reason that you started this business. So, again, also let everyone know to dial in 347-838-9278. We need you to press 1 so that we know that you would like to make a comment and tune in as our special guest today on our show. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter under Wealthy Sisters as Twitter, or Deborah Hartnett, or even Deborah Hartnett on Facebook as well. We are all available there for you on the net. So after we take this short break, we're going to dive into some great topics today on our special show of Wealthy Moms. So after this short break, we'll be right back. So stay tuned. Remember, have everybody dial in now, 347-838-9278. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Business leaders, are you ready to soar? Success is not defined by your wings, but by your courage to leap from the cliff's edge and fly. With Fortune 500 expertise, the Beatty Group partners with creative and motivated leaders, weaving structure and innovation for maximum business success. Visit us at thebeattygroup.com. That's T-H-E-B-A-T-I-E group.com. Or call the Beatty Group at 877-264-7699. This segment is sponsored by WillDrake.com. That's www.willdrake.com. The hot new suspense novel, Bad and Worse, A Tale of Men, published by Primal Coast Publishing. Sometimes the only way to stop a killer is to love him. Available in stores November 2009.
Well, yes, we are live and back on Wealthy Sisters on our special show today discussing wealthy moms. We will be talking to some of our guests today, which happens to be you, the listening audience. Also, we're going to go over some of the moms that have made the list, the richest moms in the world, and we're also going to just talk about why we discuss wealth and why is wealth important. You know, I know a lot of times people say, well, why do you always talk about money, and why do we use the topic wealth in the first place for our show, like Wealthy Sisters? Well, we want to dive and really discuss those things today. And before we get into that, what I really like to do is just kind of go over or reiterate why we actually suggest that you stay tuned in to our show and other shows like this and any type of teleconference, any type of information that you can get to keep this environment for you that's positive, that's going to encourage you, that's going to inspire you, and also give you practical information so that you can be successful in business. You know, it is so important that we recognize how important it is to stay plugged in as well, you know, because a lot of times when we think about wealth or we think about our success, it's only a lot of times built on what our mindset is at that time. It's only what we know at that time. And if the only people that we really know, and we say this all the time, every week, we talk about the environment, we talk about the people we're connected to, if they have not experienced what we want as far as been in business, or if they haven't created a certain amount of income, or if their lifestyles are not the particular lifestyles that you currently want, or it's going to be hard to actually acquire that, because we all speak different languages. We all do. It's not just the language or the tongue that we're talking about, like your nationality or the language that you were born with, your parents, or English or Spanish or what have you. We're talking about a cultural language. And people that have wealth, they speak wealth. People that have a job, they speak job. People that have a business, speak business. So I know that sounds very elementary, but it is absolutely the truth. Now, before we actually dive into that, I know, you know, we are celebrating Mother's Day, and some of you might be saying, well, Mother's Day was yesterday. Well, I am one that I love to keep the party going, in case you're wondering. We are going to celebrate it again today, because, I mean, one day is just never enough. I noticed that was my birthday. It just goes by. Christmas goes by. So that's why we're taking the time to do that. And I also want to take the time just to take and pay special tribute to all the mothers, even ones who haven't given birth or adopted. I mean, I certainly know what that's like. You know, if that's what's in your heart, my personal testimony, I was married 15 years we were before our daughter was born, after a miscarriage and after we lost our son, Benjamin, who was stillborn, and carried him for 9 months. And then, you know, it was a year afterwards that our daughter was born. And I see her today, will be 7 real soon here, and it's just absolutely amazing. So I just continuously encourage those who, you know, I don't know why I mentioned that, or who are tuning into the show today, that, you know, have that special desire to become a mother. Don't give up. have the faith and stay encouraged, because you can. I'm telling you, that's, you know, that's my personal testimony there. And also, we want to take the time to recognize the fathers who are mothers as well. You know, oftentimes we don't acknowledge them because of what society says, and true, there are a lot of challenges that we face a lot of times with fathers or what have you, but there are some good men, and yes, some great fathers, great, wonderful single fathers as well, and married, of course, but, you know, we're talking about those fathers who have had to step in as the role as the mother and the father, so we want to celebrate them today and commend them and just recognize them as well. And then to those women who have made the conscious decision to not have children, and we want to celebrate you too, because that's okay. I know a lot of times, and I noticed this from my personal story, even though it was some time and I was a little bit older when I had my daughter, I know what it can feel like sometimes when you're in conversations and you don't have children, and people automatically assume that because you're a woman, you're supposed to give birth, and you're not, you know, you're missing out on something, or you're not the whole, or you're not complete, or you're not in this special club, or what have you, if you've not had children. So we are celebrating everyone today, you know, because if you are that person, and which, you know, I was for some time, you've got nieces, you've got nephews, you've got all types of people that you're giving to and sharing with, and so that as well, we want to celebrate you. Now, back to what we were talking about with wealth. You know, what is wealth? Well, in our association, the Professional Black Woman Association, which you can visit us at www.thepbwa.com, I really, we're stressing the importance of it, and, you know, the importance of staying in that environment. We are reading for our book this month, the Success Book Club. We are reading a phenomenal book, The Science of Getting Rich. It's a quick read. I absolutely love this book. And I just wanted to share just a paragraph from that book today as we talk about wealth and we talk about wealthy moms and why we focus on this word wealth in the first place. He says, whatever, now this you have to be ready for. This is by Wallace D. Wattles, and you have to be ready for, I'm just going to share with you right now to open your mind for those who are tuning in, and we are so conditioned to say that, you know, we don't need to talk about money, or money is not everything, and all of those things. We're quick to say that, or wealth is just, you know, as long as you're happy, and well, true. But listen to this, and just kind of just tune into what he's saying. He says, whatever may be said in praise of poverty, the fact remains that it is not possible to live a really complete or successful life unless one is rich. Now, I know the chat room might jump off right now from that statement, and I will say it again because I know, you know, that's not a comfortable statement to make. But whatever may be said in praise of poverty, the fact remains that it is not possible to live a really complete or successful life unless one is rich. No man can rise, or of course we know woman as well, no man can rise to his or her greatest possible height in talent or soul development unless he has plenty of money. For to unfold the soul and to develop talent, he must have many things to use, and he cannot have these things unless he has money to buy them. A man develops in mind, soul, and body by making use of things, and society, now this is where he just makes it plain, society is so organized that man must have money. We need grace. We need favor and all of those things. The grace and favor that we need is to for people that have money to give unto us. So when we're saying all we need is faith and all we need is grace and all we need is favor, yes, we do need that. But there is still an exchange of some type of tangible instrument that's being used, and in each society or what have you, it's some form of money. So he's saying, and so society is so organized that man must have money in order to become the possessor of things. Therefore, the basis of all advancement for man must be the science of getting rich. The object of all life is development, and everything that lives has an inalienable right to all the development it is capable of attaining. Man's right to life means his right to have the free and unrestricted use of all the things which may be necessary to his fullest mental, spiritual, and physical unfoldment, or in other words, his or her right to be rich. Now, that's why we talk about wealth. That's why our show is Wealthy Sisters. That's why we search and we find women that earn six and seven figures every week, that you can actually tune in and you can hear their stories. And you yourself can say, you know what, if they're doing this, I know that I can do this too, because we all are the same. We all have been giving the same amount of time every day. It's just how do we manage those activities during the day so that we can get that. Plus, a lot of times we have to wrap our minds around and accept the fact that it is okay for us to want more. That's our natural, state for us to want more. And it's just that when we allow society, or we've allowed the conditions, or we've allowed the environment, our conversations to lull us into the sleep and to accept that our wealth is not, we're not supposed to want those things. So your wealth, your level, or whatever that is for you, of course, we all know it's going to be different. You know, it's going to take more, it's going to take less for others. But we all have to agree that in order to continue to move through the world, we need income, we need wealth. So that's why we talk about wealth. Now, we think back to, if you want to go scripturally, if you want to go in any faith or spiritual readings, we can refer to Proverbs here. We think about the virtuous woman. She not only took care of her household with her, she was diligent with her hands, with her children and family, but as we said, she was diligent with her hands. She was a businesswoman. She was a businesswoman. She sold things. She made things and sold them. She had an empire in her home. So this is natural for us today. Now, I want to open up the lines. I know we have some people that have the lines are full here. I know a lot of people have called in to the show today. And some of you all are just tuning in, but I want you to go ahead and press 1, because I want you to jump in on this conversation, and let's start talking about some of the things that some of the issues that we face a lot of time as mothers, or on our journey, on your journey to building your businesses and building that wealth we talk about is the first thing I know is guilt. We deal with a lot of those, you know, working long hours with children, did I do what I need to do for my husband, or did I take care of the things that I need to take care of for my mother? So we want to just go ahead and open the lines up. Again, you can dial 347-838-9278. We have a few more that we have open for you to do that, and while our producers are Ms. Jocelyn Harrison is taking care of the lines there, we also want you to know that you can also make your comments and questions in our chat room today as well. Now, as we move forward, and we're going to take this caller here shortly, but I tell you, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come right back to our caller, and then we'll go further with the rest of the show.
Deborah Hartnett International, helping you design your future. We are business development consultants, your one-stop stores for starting or enhancing your business. Our team of professionals are among the best in the country. Our services range from establishing your corporation to developing and executing your branding strategy to website design and promotion. We even help you with establishing your business credit. Visit us today at www.deborahhartnett.com to view a full list of services or call toll-free 800-493-0339. Mention this ad and receive a 15% discount off our Gold package. Do you find yourself overwhelmed in paperwork? Are you struggling with administrative tasks preventing you from doing what you really love? Then consider hiring a virtual assistant. Call M. Alexander & Associates Incorporated, toll-free at 1-877-894-0564 or join them on the web at www.iwillassistyou.net.
All right, yes, we are back live on Wealthy Sisters, and we're glad to have everyone on the show today. So as we were saying, you can dial in. I think we had a couple of missed calls there. You can dial in at 347-838-9278 and jump in on our discussion today. We're going to go ahead and move forward. We were talking about some of the things that we face as mothers. We face the whole part of guilt. We also face the long hours or what have you. So we want to hear from you today. So dial in 347-838-9278. Now, I know some of the other women that made the list this year, some powerful mothers who actually are wealthy. One story that I really, really like, I want to read from this woman here who I'll tell you is not only created wealth for herself, but she was at a point to where she was homeless. I'm going to read her story here, but she is now a billionaire today, and she was single. Listen to this. She says, "My mother and father were both Londoners. They met on a train traveling from King's Cross Station to Arbroath in Scotland. When they were both 18, my father was off to join the Royal Navy, my mother to join the women's equivalent. My mother said she was cold. My father offered her a half share in his coat, and they got married just over a year later when they were 19. Both left the Navy and moved to the outskirts of Bristol in the west part of England. My mother gave birth to me when she was 20. I was a round baby, rotund baby, she says. The description in the Philosopher's Stone of the photographs of what appeared to be a beach ball wearing a different color bobble hat would also apply to the picture of me in my early years. My sister Dee arrived a year and 11 months after me. The day of her birth is my earliest memory, or my earliest datable memory anyway. I distinctly remember playing with a bit of plastic in the kitchen while my father rushed in and out of the room, hurrying backwards and forwards to my mother, who was giving birth in their bedroom. I know I didn't invent this memory because I checked the details later with my mother. I also have a vivid mental picture of walking into their bedroom a little while later, hand in hand with my father, and seeing my mother lying in the bed in her nightdress next to my beaming sister, who is stark naked with full head of hair and looks about 5 years old. Although I clearly pasted together this bizarre false memory out of the bits of hearsay when I was a child, it is so vivid that it still comes to my mind, even ever think about Dee being born again. Dee had and still has very dark, almost black hair and dark brown eyes like my mother's, and she was considerably prettier than I was, and she still is. As compensation, I think my parents decided that I must be the bright one. We both resented our labels. I really wanted to be less freckly, beach ball-like, and Dee, who is now a lawyer, felt justifiably annoyed that nobody had noticed she was just a pretty face. This undoubtedly contributed to the fact that we spent three-quarters of our childhood figuring like a pair of wildcats imprisoned together in a very small cage. To this day, Dee bears a tiny scar just above her eyebrow from the cut I gave her when I threw a battery at her, but I didn't expect it to hit her. I thought she ducked. This excuse didn't cut much ice with my mother, who was angered than I ever seen before. But we left the bungalow when I was four and moved to Winterbourne, also on the outskirts of Bristol. Now we lived in a semi-detached house with stairs, which prompted Dee and I to reenact over and over again a clifftop drama in which one of us would dangle from the topmost stair, holding hands, and the other pleading Oh, my. We had bribery. We had blackmail. This is going on about she and her sister and how they, you know, reacted. I want to move here. My secondary school in Wendland, where I went when I was 11, was the place I met Sean Harris, to whom Chamber of Secrets is dedicated, and whom owned the original Fort Anguilla. She is talking. Let me move down here. I didn't want to read that. I lost my spot there. Let's see. Okay, she actually got married, this young lady. She married, here it is. Okay. 9 months later, desperate to get away for a while, I left for Portugal, where I got a job teaching English and language in a language institute. I took with me the still-growing manuscript of Harry Potter, hopefully that my new working hours I taught in the afternoon and evening would lend themselves to pressing on with my novel, which had changed a lot since my mother had died. Now Harry's feelings about his dead parents had become much deeper, much more real. In my first weeks in Portugal, I wrote my favorite chapter in The Philosopher's Stone, The Mirror of Erised. I had hoped that when I returned from Portugal, I would have a finished book under my arm. In fact, I had something even better, my daughter. I had met and married a Portuguese man, and although the marriage did not work out, it had given me the best thing in my life. Jessica and I arrived in Edinburgh, where my sister Dee was living, just in time for the Christmas of 93. I intended to start teaching again and knew that unless I finished the book very soon, I might never, ever finish it. I knew that full-time teaching with all the marking and lesson plans, let alone with a small daughter to care for single-handedly, would leave me with absolutely no spare time at all. And so I set work in a kind of frenzy, determined to finish the book and at least try to get it published. Whenever Jessica fell asleep in her pushchair, I would dash to the nearest cafe and write like mad. I wrote nearly every evening. Then I had to type the whole thing out myself. Sometimes I actually hated the book, while I loved it. Finally, it was done. I covered the first three chapters in a nice plastic folder and sent them off to an agent who returned them so fast that they must have been set back the same day they arrived. But the second agent I tried wrote back and asked to see the rest of the manuscript. It was far and away of the best letter I had ever received in my life, and it was only two sentences long. It took a year for my new agent, Christopher, to find a publisher. Lots of them turned it down. Then finally in August, now she started in 1993, finally in August 1996, Christopher telephoned me and told me that Bloomsbury had made an offer. I could not quite believe my ears. "You mean it's going to be published?" I asked rather stupidly. "It's definitely going to be published." After I had hung up, I screamed and jumped into the air. Jessica, who was sitting in her high chair enjoying tea, looked thoroughly scared, and you probably know what happened next. That is J.K. Rowling. She is now a billionaire. This lady actually is the author of Harry Potter. A billionaire today. She was a single mother. She went through whatever she had to go through to actually produce her book. She stayed focused on her dreams, and she sent it after publisher after publisher after publisher, and here 3 years later, it took to 1996 for that book to be published. So that is a testimony of what it takes when you actually focus on your business. Now, also, we know there are other women that we know. Miss Kathy Hughes. Everybody knows who she is. Kathy Hughes, her story is awesome. She actually, to read her story, she, you know, bought the radio station in the D.C. area, and her situation was such that she was a single mother. And what happened with her, you know, she found herself getting this station, and it was not everything that she thought it was going to be. I mean, she said they took the records, they took all the things that she had planned to use. It was damaged, and just think about this: she wound up having to live in the radio station there, which is, I mean, how can you imagine what her family? Can you imagine what what they were saying? You are there with your child, staying there cooking on a hot plate in the radio station. for your with your child. So these are things that mothers, wealthy mothers that we see today have done. You know, so when we think about the guilt, a lot of times what we have to realize is our children are resilient. They are resilient. And so you might not always be there at the same moment that somebody else's mother that maybe their lifestyle is totally different from yours. But what you have to do is to be able to involve your kids. You've got to involve your family, your husband. You have to actually and welcome them to make them feel a part of what you are doing. To actually say, hey, you know, we're going to have a family meeting. This is what we're doing for this. Make them, give them a role. You'll be surprised with your children if they're 2, if they're 3, 4 years old. I mean, I have my daughter. She knew how to make CDs at 3. If she would take them out of the CD player and we had to put labels. She knew what all of that was. Going to presentations and meetings, she knew what it was to sit there and to hold a name tag or at least to give a name tag to someone when, you know, it's signing up for registration. So there are ways that you can actually make your family a part of it. And I think, you know, what we have to always do is when we start realizing what your vision is, taking that time to actually get a journal and write, what do you see with this business? A lot of times when we start and we're not quite sure, we kind of do things backwards. We kind of maybe just react to an idea or what have you and may not think it all the way through. But what we understand is once you actually sit down and you write and visualize detail, I love what Bob Proctor talks about. He talks about writing it down, that perfect vision of what you see for yourself. So if you see yourself 2 years from now, 3 years from now, with your business doing $5,000 a day, $20,000 a day, $45,000 a month, whatever that goal is for you, you have to actually spell it out. You've got to see it. You've got to taste it. And when you're doing that, involve, that will help you eliminate a lot of times that guilt that, you know, we face and we know is a lot of times can be different for women, but men, they deal with the guilt as well because they want to be with the family. They recognize that there is a sacrifice that, you know, you have to make there. And a lot of times it's okay for them because that's what our society says. And it's kind of sad because we don't really know how to communicate. We don't really know how to express. So a lot of times if they're not expressing how they really feel about it, we assume that, you know, they don't feel guilty or they don't want to be with the family. And it's not the case. But for women, you know, for us to be mothers, and if we're not going to the basketball game for our child and we have to get another parent to take our child, that's not going to make your child, I don't care. That's what society's saying today, all of this, you know, that's going to make them put them in a psychiatric ward or have to make them see a therapist. We were much stronger than that. Our people were much stronger than that in the past. We did not have all of the things that we had today, all of the extras. We didn't have the education. We didn't have the income, the source, the connections. We didn't have the rights, the legal rights that we have today. Like I said, the education, we didn't have all of the tools. Just last week, we talked about what Madam C.J. Walker was able to do and what she was able to accomplish in the short period of time that she lived, in her time. You know, she didn't have all that we had, and this lady built a network when she was traveling, had to travel by a train, had to travel by a ship, which was not the ships that we know today. And she built a fortune. She was a millionaire in the early 1900s. So when we think about where we are today, we can't allow what somebody else's life or what their purpose is. We can't allow that to inflict what ours are because your path is different. You are an entrepreneur. You are a businesswoman. You happen to be a mother that's a businesswoman or what have you. And this is, we titled the show Wealthy Moms today, but this, could, of course, could relate to anyone. Everybody's path is different, and what your path is going to involve is not going to be the same path that others have. So we know we have a lot of people that want to tune in and comment on this. And this, I said, you are the special guest today, live on Wealthy Sisters. You can dial 347-838-9278. We know you're out there. We want to know your opinion, your thought on what we're discussing today with Wealthy Moms being the topic for our show today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you feel like there's never enough time in the day? You have a laundry list of 20 things to do, and you still haven't done, oh yeah, the laundry. Are you at a crossroads in your life and just not certain what's your next step? Are you just overwhelmed and feel like you have lost, well, you? We are here to help. Compass Coaching is a personal development company for women. We help you find your path and bring balance to your life. Visit us today at www.mypathmylife.com. We have life coaching plans as low as $19 a month and take our free assessment. That's www.mypathmylife.com. Every woman deserves a coach.
All right, we're back live on Wealthy Sisters. Here we're discussing wealth today, wealthy moms, and those roles that we play, the dual roles as well. Also, we want you to dial in if you got questions, comments. You are the special guest today, 347-838-9278. I know we got quite a few people at our work, people making comments in the chat room as well. We're glad to have you on our show today. Now, as we continue to discuss this topic, there's some other things that we'd like to discuss as well. But I love what are in our chat room, what Cheryl has shared today. She says that it is true. Her 6-year-old daughter knows all about my business. She even attends some events with me and knows how to introduce herself to customers. I love that. She says she knows the pricing and she knows that mommy is setting an example for her to become an entrepreneur. That is so true. I know we actually go a lot of times to expos, and my daughter, she actually thinks that it's a carnival. We went to one here, and she's, oh, Lisa, are we going back to a carnival? It was a Saturday and a Sunday, so we went back on Sunday to the carnival, and she goes around, and she picks up all of the business cards at the booths. You know, she asked for their business cards, and as a matter of fact, I had to ask her for the cards back. So, oh, you can keep it for a moment, Mommy, but I want them back, you know. So it can really, really come in hand. But I love what you're saying, Cheryl. She says, my greatest goal in life is to teach my children that they do not have to get stuck in a rut of working a 9-to-5 job they hate simply for a paycheck. Rather, they can discover their passion early in life and pursue that passion and earn a living from it. And that's true, you know, that and I'm glad you said passion and pursue that, and not just saying that, you know, working a 9-to-5 is not a way to go, because that certainly is that, you know, if that is what you desire, and there are, the main thing is that you do, that we do what we've been sent here to do, and that is to actually live out our purpose. And a lot of times we do get in that rut where we just say, hey, I'm going to work this job, or I'm going to stay here. We live in cities just because of a job, or we live in a certain part of town just because of a job. You know, it dictates every aspect of our life, and we're not existing for a job. You know, those jobs are to help us live. And so we've got to make sure that we're doing what we have to do. I also see the coach here, strategic coach, says, coach, I agree, my daughter and I are both life coaches. I love that. Oh, wow. We'd love to know, how old is your daughter? You know, we work together in hosting seminars. Is your daughter younger or older? I'd love to have you guys call in and tune in. Dial into the show. We'd love to learn more about that. I hope you can dial in at 347-838-9278. I really love to know, you know, if your daughter is of age now, strategic coaching, if you're still there on there. I see you on the line there. If you can type it or dial in if we want to know more about, did you actually build a business with your daughter, or is this something that they were exposed to? Those are the questions that we like to know. So I guess that they probably are at in a setting where they're not able to respond right away. But as we were saying, it is so important to not allow, you know, yourselves to feel like you are not doing what you are called to do just because someone else says something other than that. But we're going to go to Atlanta now to our producer, Ms. Jocelyn. I know she has some comments that she'd like to share because we have been entrepreneurs for several years, and I know finding the passion and pursuing the passion has always been a part of our conversation. So I know she wants to join in on this as well. Hello, Ms. Jocelyn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, doing wonderful. Thank you for being, I'm telling you, I'm loving it, and loving the comments from our chat room as well, and definitely, I know you have some thoughts on what we're talking about today.
I do. You know, one of the things that's been kind of going around in my mind is, and you may be able to help with this, Deborah, is setting an environment within your home, especially if you're an entrepreneur that works from your home,
mm-hmm.
Where you can have your kids but still remain productive.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a great question there. You know, what I have done for me personally, I have an office now. Some, you know, you may not have the space to have an office if you have an area in your home, maybe in the living room, that you can section off as your office. Do that. But I have an office, and because I want to my daughter to be a part of what I'm doing, and I can still, you know, not feel like she's in one room and I'm in the other room, I have her desk in here in the office as well with her computer. And this is, of course, where she, you know, she's able to do her homework. I have, just as I have my vision boards and boards that I write on, notes and things that we do. I have my bookcase, just the same thing as I have on my side of the room, I have for her as well. So she has her own compartmental drawers that she keeps her pencils and crayons and her scratch paper and the papers. And if somebody, as a side note, can tell me what to do with all these papers that we acquire on a daily basis from school, the homework, extra papers, this paper, that paper. Oh, we got tons of papers. Like, I don't want to throw anything away, but I'm going to have to do something, because I remember when my mother passed, I think she kept everything, and that took a whole month to clear the house out. But, yeah, so we, you know, I have that with her board and her desk and all that. So she has, I'm creating that environment for her to know that, you know, it's that structure, and this is a place that once I have the office, this is where to work, and I do my best not to take things into other parts of the home. Of course, now with the laptop and the wireless, I'm all around sometimes with that laptop, but I do my best to do that. And so others that might have a business that you actually have tangible products that you have to sell, then, you know, maybe you don't have an office. Maybe the part of the garage, maybe a part of the basement is that area. Whatever that area is in your dwelling needs to be defined, and, you know, you do your very best to keep it like that so that they can actually visualize this being a real company. Visualize this, and when you earn, especially like for the business owners that actually have items that you sell, let them see, you know, what it costs. Like I know someone said they know, I think Cheryl said they know what the shirts cost, they know what those are. Let them see, you know, what the transactions are, you know, the money that's made from it or what have you, so they can get a connection. Kids know more than we think they know. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they are very, very, very resilient. The things that we worry about, I know I was having this conversation with a friend who has grown children, and they said, you know, they spent all this time on these big parties and the big blow-up stuff, or even a Christmas you can think about, or maybe some people might not celebrate Christmas or what have you, or the birthdays you think about. We spend this big money on these big gifts, and they want to play with the box that it came in, you know. So we only remember, you know, the memories are made from the simple things and the simple things out of life, and that's you know what the kids really remember. So they're gonna remember. Yeah, I remember when my mom was doing this. I remember when my mom had me folding those shirts. So, I mean, what could be wrong with that picture? What could be wrong when you're teaching them and training them responsibility and how to think for themselves and how to be creative and how to know that, okay, maybe they might want to have a job for someone. Maybe they might want to work in a career, something that they love to do. But they also, if they're in college, they go to college, they can have a skill. They can know, oh, I can type. I can do whatever. I can create. I can create money. I never have to be without money. So I think that's a great question that you asked there. Yeah. What else did you, I know you had something else you wanted to share.
You know, something else that I thought about too, I do believe, and while I'm not a mom, I do believe that it does, and you basically hit on some of this, is mm-hmm. it does give a great opportunity for exposure. And exposure
mm-hmm.
leads to expansion.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I was thinking about Kimora Lee Simmons.
Yes.
And she's
yes.
fabulous.
Yes. Yes.
And I was looking at her show and how she treats her kids. You know, I'm not getting into discipline and all of that, but I will say that she has involved them to a point where they do have their own ideas. She lets them, you know, gives them opportunities to make business decisions on certain, I think they had a little clothing line they came out with. You know, she has really involved them. And so because they have been exposed to her and her business, they seem, especially one of them, seems very comfortable making decisions, whether they go with it or not. You know, they both have definite opinions.
Right.
And I think that is awesome.
Right. Oh, that is. That is because a lot of times now when we deal with adults, and I can say from my background, having been in network marketing for so long, you deal with real life people who want to build a business. But the number one thing we have to always deal with in the beginning with people are dealing with their fear of speaking, their fear of asking questions, the fear of being assertive, that whole negative connotation of being assertive, of asking for what you want. And for as children, that comes natural for us as children. But because in school they've told us, stop asking so many questions. You ask too many questions.
Right.
Sit down somewhere. Stop talking. And, you know, I have to ask and catch myself, even though, you know, my daughter, she didn't start speaking to around 3. And we were like, oh, my goodness. We weren't concerned, but she didn't really start talking and until then. And now, I promise you, she has not stopped since. And there are some times that I want to say, you know, stop talking. Stop, be quiet. Can you be quiet, please? And I have to catch myself because I don't want to stifle who she's supposed to be in her growth. Yeah. And asking questions, as I know today, I had to retrain myself to know that we have not, first of all, because we ask not. Mm-hmm. And because we've been programmed not to ask for so much, and the only reason where we are today in our life is, if we realize it or not, is because of what we asked for. So if we want more, we have to learn how to ask for more. And so when you're dealing with business, you've got to, first of all, learn how to sell. You have to be a salesperson. I don't care if you're a consultant, if you're an accountant, you have to learn how to sell. And people run away from that.
Yeah.
And so, and one of the fundamentals of teaching our kids, like you said, and like you saw Kimora, is allowing them to make decisions. I'm training my daughter as we go to ask if we go to a restaurant. To, you know, she will ask. She will speak up. Excuse me, may I have this? She places her order. She's 6 years old. She knows what she wants. And if a waiter walks by, excuse me, may I have a little bit more? And, you know, sometimes I want to say, oh, boy, what she's going to say or whatever, but I have to remind myself, no, I have to allow her to do this and not so that she won't ever be afraid to ask, because all someone can do is say no. That's all someone can do is say no. That's it. I mean, if you ask, they say no, so what? Then you find another way to ask. Okay, maybe you didn't understand what I said. Let me translate it another way, because I don't, you know, I want her to always know that no does not just mean no. It might mean not right now, but you might have to say it in another way. So
yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important.
And you know, both you and I attended a church from the Bronner, where the founder was a Bronner, from the Bronner brothers.
That's right.
And, you know, one thing that I will, while all of them aren't physically in the business every day, some of them are pastors, but which are churches, which are businesses.
Right.
You know, to hear the stories of how their father really instilled these business principles in them, you know, all of them working for the company, all of them, you know, partaking in some portion of the business, really made an indelible mark on each of their lives, whether they are in ministry or business or whatever, you know, they may be doing. And so that, I just think this is also a part of that legacy. Yes, your child may not end up doing the company business.
Right.
But because they have options, they understand that they have options and that they have the option and the ability to really go out and do what they have that passion to do, which Cheryl talked about. So
right. And I love that. I love the fact that you brought that up. That is so true. The options, that's, you know, that's another thing that when we are going through those guilt cycles or, am I, you know, I'm spending too much time or
right.
what should I do? Oh, my goodness, you know, this is a day. I got to find balance and all that. But if I don't make this call, if I don't do this, when we're going through all those mental games that we go through on a daily and all that mental chatter that we go through on a daily basis, the outcome is what, again, what we have to focus on. And like you said, that mark that we're leaving, you know, on our children, what's the purpose? Well, the option is the purpose. We want our children to have options.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them to have to go to a school because that's where they have to go because of money.
Right.
Or they can't go to further their education because of money.
Right.
They have to, you know, get out and start working a job right away, or nothing's wrong with the military. You know, since I've lived here, I mean, I even see more opportunities even with the military, even that I've seen before, because I was only exposed to a small facet of it. But, you know, that might be a lot of times that's an option that people say, well, my child had to go here because we couldn't afford them to go to school. Well,
mm-hmm.
couldn't afford for them to go to school. But if, you know, you're giving your children options by you pursuing your dreams and your
yes.
passion and continuously building that business, that's what you're giving them, that option to do. And I can kind of bet that they would appreciate those options. See, don't let what
mm-hmm.
the television, the images that we see on TV, those are not real.
Yeah.
Those are not real. And it's like the vocal minority. You know, you see some of these reality shows that have wealthy people and their lives are so this and that. That's just sensationalism.
Yeah.
Half that stuff can't be real. And if it is real, why do you feel yours would have to be like that if you had wealth?
Right.
And why would your children, you of all people, you you're a great person. Not saying that they're not, but you're a great person. You have integrity. You come from good stock. Your vision is clear. Your intentions are pure. Why would your children have to go astray? You know, so I think that's a great point that you brought up as well.
And, you know, another thing that I was just thinking about is also, as an entrepreneur, although I know there are some people that may work 9 to 5, and that's fine, as an entrepreneur, you can literally craft your life the way you want it to be. And I was reading about this business coach, and she, you know, has decided, yes, she wants to be a millionaire, but she's, for her, because she has 2 small kids and she wants to spend time with them, she's deciding to do it her way. So
right.
Her time, it may take her a little bit longer, but for her, she takes off the summer. Now, still makes 6 figures, but she takes off the summer to be with her kids.
Right.
So
she has an option.
And she has an option, right.
She created an option for herself.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's the saying that we say, do today what others won't do so that you can have today what others won't have.
There you go.
It's a simple, you know, I love it in the Born Rich series that Bob Proctor has, his co-host on there, John Canary, talks about the sowing and reaping principle, which we sow. He said, you know, the thing is, we don't know when we're going to reap, but we know when the sowing season is, and that's every day. It's every day. You know, can we dial up? Somebody said, I heard y'all out there say, can we dial up and find out when the reaping season is? Can somebody tell us when the reaping season? No, but he said the sowing season is every day. It's in everything that we do every day. And I love this fact as well, that it's the small things. There's a scripture that talk about it. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that matter. So over a course of time, just like if, you know, it's nothing wrong with eating a hamburger, we know, but if you eat a hamburger from I won't name a place, but a fast food place every day, that's what you eat every day, eventually, over time, you're going to have some issues with your body. It's the little things. Oh, I just ate a little burger. Eventually, over time. So sowing, we know, is every day. If you're sowing and you're sowing on good ground and you're sowing the seeds in building that dream and building that vision, you're definitely going to reap your harvest. You're definitely going to do that.
Cool. Great.
Yes. So we, I tell you, have had an awesome show today. We thank everybody for tuning in, for the great comments and that we share. We want you to definitely tune in next week. Please mark us as your favorite, Wealthy Sisters, SISTAS.com. We can be found on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook, Deborah Hartnett. HARDNETT and Twitter as well. And we want to encourage you to visit our sponsor site, the Professional Black Woman Association, www.thepbwa.com. We have a lot of things in store. We just launched this new association. We have our basic membership, where it's free for you to join. You can get MP3s on a quarterly basis from us and our newsletter. And then also we have the monthly memberships as low as $19, where we have our online university. We have a library that has so much available for you, all types of media on professional and personal development as well, which all of these things are important, and also practical information as well, important to you building your business. So definitely tune in next week. Our special guest is going to be telling us how she raised, just this past year, she's raised close to $1 million from investors. So you want our special guest is Miss Kim Thor. So tune in. You want to hear her next week. For those of you all are saying it's not anybody investing, there's no money out there, there is still some money out there. Trust me, the money has not disappeared. It has not disappeared. It just transferred hands. That's all. So thank you again for tuning in to Wealthy Sisters. We look forward to hearing you all out next week. Continue to have an awesome day.
This has been another episode of Wealthy Sisters, brought to you by theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where success is inevitable. Join Deborah Hardhead, our host, next week as she interviews another powerful, positive, progressive, wealthy sister, and visit us on the web at www.wealthysisters.com. See you next time.